in Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
And on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast, we bring you
China Through the Lens,
Literalism,
Wrong Love,
all coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. The news this week, Ian, is it's news for us because we've just audio booed preview to the show.
Yes, audio booed.
Yeah, so you might have heard that and then come along and found the show later. If you have, if not, Ian, what's the news?
If not, welcome anyway.
Yeah, that's true. So what's in the news this week, Ian? I hear those manky monkeys have been up to things which are manky and monkeyish.
Yes, they're finally getting out and about. They're escaping from their HQ in the Bling Bling building in Hanover Street. Been there for a while, getting created, I suppose, dressed up. And now they're over this week and next week, the manky monkey people are sending them out to their adopted homes, the various people who've sponsored them. So, yeah, actually, we managed to see one today, or four, being delivered to the Hard Day's Night Hotel. You know, there's a Blake's restaurant, and normally in the window there's been the Sgt. Pepper Super Lamb Banana.
All right.
Or a Super Lamb Banana, anyway. Beatles-related Super Lamb Banana. Well, that's going to have a rest, and they've replaced it for now with the four Sgt. Pepper's Manky Monkeys.
And they were on show in the Bling building. I didn't realise it was called the Bling building. But, yeah.
Bling, bling.
They're quite good.
It actually says Bling, bling. There's bits surrounded in gold colour.
Yeah.
If you look underneath, it said they've actually etched in Bling, bling on it.
Right, fair enough. they're going to be in the Hard Day's Night Hotel window.
Yes. Yeah. Even as soon as they put it there, people stopped and started taking photographs of them.
Really?
Dave and Erin, the Halligan Art people who are responsible for the whole thing, worked really hard on this.
They have.
This one in particular, Erin's a really big Beatles fan. They were saying, like, in Liverpool, if you put out some Sgt. Pepper related stuff, it's got to be right, you know,
yeah.
Especially if it's in the Hard Day's Night Hotel. She spent so much time and effort getting it to look exactly like, you know, on the cover, or the way they're standing, the way they're. The outfit looks, and they've created a fantastic whole, you know, the whole Zappa's uniforms on them, and
amazing. It's all for charity.
The Alder Hey Imagine appeal, they'll be in various places where I know Tesco's, cafes, trying where else now, but there's loads of them. There's a Manky Monkey website. Mm-hmm. It'll be listing them all, and once they put them out over the next week or two, there'll be maps. Be about 10,000 maps distributed.
A Manky Monkey map,
yes.
Try and say that after you've had a few beers.
Yeah. So, yeah, well done to them, and good.
It is very good, very good. As we said, it's all for charity, charity, folks.
Yeah.
Now, also, coming up in the news, final call for entries, the last chance, the major art prize. What are we talking? John Moore's Contemporary Painting Prize 2010. Follow them on Twitter.
Yeah, 2010. Oh, you call 2010. It 2010, I was thinking
2010,
about
yeah.
Yeah, it's not actually a number, is it?
No, it's not
2000,
a number.
It's 2010 years since the birth of our Lord. Not 2010. You can't
2010,
say...
2010. Well, you know, I suppose we did used to say, you know, when it was back in the, you know, the 80s and what have you, we'd say 2001. But yeah. I don't think we ever thought, you know, what would we be saying when we got to 20...
Mm.
You wouldn't be going 2010. It's quite... That's 2010.
Yeah. 2010. I'm not sure. It's just not a real number.
It's not a real number, you're right.
2010. Anyway, the John Moore's Painting Prize. Yeah, this takes place during the actual exhibition, and the prize takes place same time as the biennial in the Walker Art Gallery.
Always a fantastic show.
Fantastic show. It's been going since the 1950s. I remember going to see it when I was very young. I used to go and do that. If you want to actually enter it as an artist, anybody can enter it. We have to pay £25. And you need to register by the 19th of February, so that's not long. Your actual artwork doesn't need to be until sometime in March, so just a few weeks later, but you have to register by the 19th of February.
And that's only like a handling charge, just simply because they get sent thousands, isn't it? Thousands.
Yeah, yeah, 3,000 or 4,000, I think, maybe more. Very popular prize, and always a good show. Well worth entering if you've got any ambitions. It does have to be painting, particularly painting, not sculpture or...
Mm-hmm. No, I wanted to know, now, at the Walker, since somebody tripped, I can't remember what gallery it was in, but it was in a, was it a French gallery? Was it an American gallery? Somebody tripped and into a piece of artwork and ripped it.
It was in America, wasn't it? Yeah, and it was Picasso. It was a major one. Yeah, I think it was Picasso.
Now, are they going to start bringing the ropes a little bit further out so that sometimes it's those ropes that you trip over?
You know,
if they're going to put them anywhere, they ought to put them at, like, you know, chest kind of height so that if you did fall, it would stop you.
Yeah. Might not stop me after a few drinks. So yeah. Do it. Somersault over it.
Yeah. Especially at the John Moores 2010 preview.
Yeah, that'd be good. It gets very elbowed over one or something. Yeah. Yeah, strange. We don't know how this person managed to stumble onto one of the paintings and rip it in the corner.
It's easy enough to do. I mean, if you fall, then you put your hand out or you try to do something to try and stop yourself. It doesn't matter what's there. Yeah. You know, it could, ugh. So, anyway, so, yeah. Well, yeah, that's a terrible thing to happen. But then at the same time, why have insurance?
Yeah, it's only art, isn't it? I mean,
it is. It's kind of like, okay, it's a really important piece of artwork, but...
Like the Chapman brothers said when Saatchi's warehouse went up in flames, they said, well... It's only art, just create some more.
Yeah, exactly. Picasso can't, but
that's
never mind.
True, yeah.
Anyway, that is the news this week. Roundup of the week. Rounding up the week that was in the visual arts in Liverpool. You've been out and about to various different places this week. Tell us, where have you been? What's been exciting? What have you liked the most? And what was your strangest evening?
Strangest evening. Oh, I have to think about that one.
Yeah, you won't really.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was in sort of chronological order. We went to the Tate to see the exhibition there, Afro-Modern, Journeys Through the Black Atlantic. We've been talking about this every week recently. Yeah. The whole Liverpool Black Atlantic thing where various local galleries got involved. But it was initiated by the Tate doing this exhibition, Modern. Which is all about the influence of black artists on contemporary 100 years or so, I think. So it's a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the one on the top floor. You have to pay £6, but you get your money's worth with this one. It's in sort of chronological order, I think. This time we went the right way. You know, there's always two entrances. You normally end up in the start from the wrong end. We got it right this time. It's good. There's some good videos. It's a really good thing by Cara Walker, who had a show there a few years ago on the ground floor. Does these big black and white sort of silhouette type things, slavery.
Yeah.
And they're quite graphic in some ways about slaves being raped by their masters and so on. But she's created an animation this time using like little cut-out bits of paper and silhouetted.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of very... DIY, but it looks really good and interesting. There's also, well, loads of art. I'm struggling to remember the names now. There is a Picasso in there, just but in the theme. There's some really good sculptures as well. There's stuff about Josephine Baker, Negrophilia, that sort of section. There's all different sections. There's the Harlem Renaissance, Brazilian Anthropophagia. European primitivism. Yeah, I'm struggling.
Primitivism.
Yeah. Black Orpheus, Negritude, Natural Synthesis.
Fascinating stuff. During the 1930s, absolutely fascinating artwork at that time. I used to have a black art during the 1930s. Absolutely fantastic. Where the book went, don't know, but really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting. And the political movements that came that came with it at the same time.
Yeah, there's some books on show there, actually, about books that have been written about Negro anthropology, etc., and photographs from the Black Judaism people in America, I think, I heard about before. Actually, the very first painting you see when I go in, I really like by... can't find his name now. Oh yes, Aaron Douglas.
Yeah.
Really nice paintings from the 30s, I think they were. Like them. Then there's the Dissident stuff from the 60s.
This sounds like an absolutely superb show.
It is. Very good, yeah. And then you finish off with the more contemporary stuff. People like Isaac Julian and Keith Piper. Ellen Gallagher, she's also had a big show at the Tate, Liverpool Tate, fairly recently. Really good stuff, yeah.
So, we're recommending go and see it, because it sounds really good. Now, also this week, Sonia Boyce opened at the Blue Coat. Like Love 1 and 2. Tell us about that.
Yes, Sonia Boyce is a black artist. Again, it ties in with this Black Atlantic thing, sort of, loosely. And she exhibited at the Blue Coat 25 years ago. So it's they're making a thing about that, the fact she's come back after 25 years. And I think originally it was just going to be Like Love Part 2, because Part 1 was a thing she did in Bristol with... Yes. Young parents, I think it was. So she worked with young parents and they did artwork about like, being a teenage parent, etc. But then they decided they would actually include that in this as well. So you sort of start off with that. That's in the little gallery up at the top of those stairs that you people miss. So you go up there first and you see the Bristol stuff, and then you come down to the ground floor, and then there's sections where she's worked with, I think they call it the Blue Room at Blue Coat, where they do a lot of work with people with learning disabilities, people like people with Down syndrome and stuff like that. So that's a regular thing at the Blue Coats, but so she was there for a while, a few months, I think, working with the Blue Room people. There's videos of them, artwork. I think some of them did some artwork, and there's videos of them talking, and there's a really nice video of them dancing on the beach where Anthony Gormley's things
another
are another place at Crosby, and then there's no sound, or we couldn't hear any sound anyway, but you could just see them dancing, and it's in slow motion, and they're dancing things like Madness, you know, everyone dances.
A bit of Sky.
So, and they're really good dancers. So that's good. And then, so that's Part 1 and 2. But then she also curated four artists. So there's then another four sections by these four different artists, which is interesting stuff. It's a really nice video work. I can't remember the artist's name. I don't really go for the video stuff, but this one is just, it's nice, slow, and as you go around the gallery, you can actually hear this sort of ambient music, which also includes Inuit throat music, you know, where they just make those noises.
I'll have to listen to it in front of him personally.
And you can certainly hear it as you go around, and then you go in the gallery and just sit there and listen to it and watch these slow videos of the Inuit people cutting up whales and things.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely another good, really good, interesting show. Recommend it. Goes on till the 28th of March.
Brilliant. Now, also this week, at fact, 1897 overhead railway footage. Is this? You've it been was. To see this? It was.
Yeah.
So tell us about this. The
Lumiere brothers.
The Lumiere brothers.
Yeah, they're quite well known as
pioneers of
cinematography.
Cinematography, yes. Thank you. Yeah, putting those words in my mouth.
Yeah, but there's quite an academic thing in this. That there's this footage of the old Liverpool overhead railway, which was built in the 1890s, demolished in 1915.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember it. I was 45 years old then, but I think
you're
I saw it.
45 years old then.
I vaguely remember it, or hearing about. I've always heard about it. Obviously, it was also known as the Dockers Umbrella because they used to shelter from the rain there. And so, it's a lot of people in Liverpool got fond memories of it, and they screened it. In fact, and it was packed out, so the tickets went very short.
How long was the film itself?
Yeah, the actual film is only about 2 minutes long, because though the old it's like the old hand cranked thing that records the film, whatever you call that,
camera.
Yeah, I was going to say video camera, but it's not video, is it?
All helpless people, please.
pre-digital this show.
Yeah.
By a long chalk. And these hand cranked things, big reel of film on, but it only lasts about 50 seconds.
Yeah,
and then you have to change it and put a new reel on. So there were about four. You did four of these as the train went along the overhead railway, which is about 6 miles in total. So you managed to get four of these things.
Reels.
And in total, two or three minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it was just filmed from the carriage of the railway, looking at the docks. So you don't see the inland, but you just see the docks. which is quite interesting.
You can see how busy they are, probably.
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah.
Hey, those
loads and loads of ships, sailing ships, steamships. The steamships, of course, are kept separate because they were seen as being very dangerous. They might, unlike the timber ships. and you go back past the old tobacco warehouse. It was a lot bigger then before it was partly destroyed in the war. And, so it's an interesting film. But the Lumiere brothers, they were based in Paris, France. They didn't actually film this, but they sent their top guy over. I can't remember his name, but he went. He's a guy who actually went round and filming. He filmed Liverpool and other parts of the UK and Ireland as well at the same time. And what they did was this was a purely commercial thing. They would people would pay to go and see these films of these exotic places like Liverpool. otherwise, they just wouldn't know what it was like. This is what it's like, places. And so people paid to see the films and so on. And partly why it was being shown, because there's a new museum in Liverpool.
Yes, which it is. We're recording this on Follow a Museum Day on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
So, I was talking to somebody this morning about the Museum of Liverpool, and I was this was one of the very questions I was asking. Are they going to have, you know, what kind of stuff is actually going to be in the Museum of Liverpool? But now I know.
Yeah, well, certainly one of the things is one of the original carriages from the overhead railway.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, which is still looking good. Obviously, they managed to get hold of the plans of exactly how it was built, what sort of timber was used and what paint was used, etc., etc. And so it's just one of the carriages, and they showed us pictures of it. They actually raised it to the same height as it would have been, you know, 70 metres, 4 metres or something. And there'll be lots of projections about all the stations it stopped and that sort of thing. So the actual museum of Liverpool doesn't open until about spring 2011, but they're kitting it out now. And so it's to help raise awareness of that, because they're happy to get more and more stories from people about their memories of the place, if they work there or they've got any memorabilia, etc. So it's partly about that. And there will be another showing of this film, because it's very tightly controlled by Lumiere Company. It's not on the internet, so you can't even sell DVDs of it or anything. Yeah. So it's very limited access, but there'll be a showing in a while at Crosby Plaza, is it? Which is a 550-seater cinema, so you might be able to get into that one to see it. So that's what we did on Friday afternoon. That was good.
Wowzers. Now, that really helps with the Museum of Liverpool. I didn't realise. So are they going to be showing the film in Museum of Liverpool? It doesn't sound as if they are.
No, I don't think so, no.
But I suppose it's going to be, you know, they've paid Lumiere, you know, Incorporated, keep its money coming in. Yeah. Now, also this week, tell us what you got up to on Saturday night. Go on.
Yeah, we had a Saturday night out. Very, very unusual for us. And not really a visual art thing, but the Casimir Club, strange place in Wolstenholme Square. They've had a few really interesting events on the last year or so, which we've missed.
Yeah.
So this is our first Casimir experience, and it was Impropriety, the official launch night of Impropriety. And Impropriety are this group of people, actors, who are really into improvisation. Anybody who remembers Whose Line Is It Anyway on TV and on radio as well, I think, will know the sort of thing, where they just take suggestions from the audience and they have to do a sketch based on those suggestions, and really, really funny. it was. Great entertainment. So it went on for like the evening, and Impropriety do a week, I think it's a weekly workshop at Mellow Mellow.
Yeah.
And they have been doing these things, performances at Mellow Mellow as well. That's their sort of base. And Mellow Mellow's been closed for a while. They've been refurbishing, but it relaunches again today, I think.
And they've got a bar.
Yeah.
Pay bar, whereas you used to have to go and it'd be, oh yeah, brought me cans.
Yeah, it's reopening as a licensed premises, so they say do not bring your own drink for a change. So that's exciting. So if you're into improv, then check out Impropriety and the events at Mellow Mellow.
So is that going to be a regular Saturday night feature?
I don't know, I'm not sure, actually. They mentioned Thursdays. The workshops are on Wednesdays. I think they might do stuff on Thursdays. So,
there's a website. Check out the website.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't let you out on a Saturday night. and so, quite a busy week. And so,
yeah.
That is Roundup of the Week. This week, or on already, we could say, as I know, as I stood waiting for Ian, I was thinking, well, where are you? Bags. And I go, well, that's very nice at all. Bags and baggage. I thought he was complaining about Mina. But no, he was talking about the show that was on at the Liverpool Academy of Arts called Bags and Baggage. And he just got back there from Bags and Baggage. And looking at bags and baggage, because that's what the show is about. So, Ian, without further ado, tell us about Bags and Baggage.
Yeah, at the Liverpool Academy of Arts, we just hot-footed it back from there. We had a preview. It opens to the public on Tuesday, 2nd of February. Goes on for always 2 weeks at the Academy of Arts. Bags and Baggage. So they invited people to send in their bags. They got loads of bags and also paintings, artworks related to bags. So some nice paintings of to do with shopping and a guy called Carl Hodgson. He's quite popular. He's done paintings of bag ladies.
Brilliant!
Those old ladies in the streets with all their bags and living brilliant. Out of their plastic bags. Sort of thing.
I love Carl. I really like him, he's such a character. Yeah. A real character. Have to be careful how sometimes you're thinking, is he angry with me? What's he doing?
But I haven't actually met him.
Fantastic.
Judging by his artwork, he's a character.
Yeah. Oh, he's real character. Fantastic.
He's done some ceramic bags as well, actually.
Has he?
Yeah. And ceramic bag ladies.
See, really?
Ceramic bag lady. Yeah.
I'll have to get down there.
Yeah. But there's also bags, there's stuff, ones made by Adrian Henry, which look really weird. Got little horns and things on, and John Gorman also from the scaffold. A bag that they had in the 60s looks quite psychedelic, purple and yellow, very fey. And bags sent in by radio presenters, Roger Phillips, Ronnie Kennedy, is it? People like that. Who else? Loads of plastic bags from various shops. Like Rennie's, that's a really arty one.
Yeah. the Liverpool Biennial one you were telling me about, the old Yoko Ono one. Let's say no more.
Yeah, that's there. There's guitar and banjo cases, carpet bags, sewing baskets. Yeah, all kinds. It's really interesting from our sort of people's memories. Lots of people written, this is my auntie's suitcase from the 1920s, and
when she was going to America and came back. And
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I don't know how many bags are there. June said she's got 150 herself.
Wow.
So it's hundreds and hundreds.
So that's bags and baggage, and that's until the
maybe the end of next week. They're always quite short 2 week things. Yeah.
So that's the end of next week, whatever day that might be. Call us
11th, I think, isn't it?
Call us professional.
Yeah. No, 12th.
Right. 12th. Anyway, check out the Art and Hopeful website for further details about bags and baggage. Now, also coming up this week is Eyewash Exhibition. Emergency Eyewash Station Area. Keep clear. Tell us about this. This opens tomorrow evening, I see, for the viewing. That's Tuesday, the 2nd of February. It might be later that you hear this, so it will be on open by then. But it is at the Contemporary Urban Centre. So, take it away, Ian.
Don't know a lot. It's a group show arranged by a guy called UAW Cat. He's hastily curated this from various artists, including... I don't recognise a lot of the names. I think they're all local artists, but not familiar.
Debbie Ryan, Debbie. Ceramics, yeah.
Yeah, Mosaics, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard of Penelope Teapot.
Penelope Teapot?
Yeah, or Lauren Dusty Devin.
Might be made up names.
Maybe. Yeah. Michael Hollywood, that might be a real one. We'll just have to see, but I'm sure it'll be good.
I quite like the graphic.
Yeah, the graphic. Eyewash. Emergency Eyewash. Opens Tuesday evening, the private view, it's 6 till 7:30 at CUC, and it'll run for as long as it runs.
There we go.
It's all a bit random at the moment at CUC.
Oh, okay, no more.
Yeah.
So that's Eyewash at the Contemporary Urban Centre. Now, also coming up later on this week is, oh, it's the preview of the Go Penguins charity auction. So this Wednesday and this Thursday, all the Penguins that we've seen around the city over the past couple of months, they're going to be on show in St George's Hall, and this is going to be the last chance for you and yours to get down there, have a look, and then head over to the online exhibition, the online auction, and to put some money down on your favourite penguin. And fingers crossed you get it. But they're quite steep, aren't they? We have spoken about this before, haven't we?
Yeah, the reserve price is more than 1,000, 2,000. Yeah. So it's a little bit complicated. It's, as you say, you can go and see them in St George's Hall from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, the 3rd and 4th. Except on the Wednesday, it's closed for lunch, 12 till 2. And then, when is it? You can register now. If you want to place a bid in the auction, you can go to Go Penguins website now and register to do so. But, you know, I would only do that if you're really interested in seriously bidding.
Yeah, seriously.
I had a look at it, and you have to scan in some ID. You have to scan in your passport,
really?
Or driver's license, if it's on behalf of a company, you have to send off a company letterhead and things like that. So you don't want to do that if you're just not serious about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bother anyway. But if you want to buy one, then that's what you have to do, because it's a secure auction site. This is what they do, apparently. It's run by a property auction company, I think.
Now, it does say you can place a sealed bid at the preview.
Ah.
So there we go.
Okay, all right.
So
yeah.
That's quite lucky.
I forgot about that. Yes, you can do.
And also, it's all for charity. All the money being raised is going to charity. Do you know what charity it's going to?
It's the Lord Mayor's charity.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Mike Story's
not
charity.
Mike Story. Yeah, but that's dished out to various places like Imagine Again and the World Wildlife Fund. There's quite a few of them.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, because it's World Wildlife Fund was one of the sponsors. It was done in association with and to raise the plight of the climate.
Yeah,
awareness about the climate change and penguins losing their habitat.
That's right. Yes. Yep. Habitat.
Okay. Habitat. No. We're not talking about the shop.
Okay. Yes. That's a preview. The Wednesday and Thursday. But then from the actual online auction. Starts from 9 o'clock on the Wednesday, 9 a.m. on Wednesday, you can start placing bids, etc. I think, and then on Friday, the actual auction, Friday from noon on Friday, they start closing the bids every 2 minutes. There's 63 in total, and so at 2 minutes past 12 on Friday, lot one closes, you're done, and then 2 minutes later, 4 minutes past 12, bot two closes, and so on. Until they all finish at about 2 p.m. I suppose. So that's that. Yeah, but so anyway, go and have a look. It'll be good to see all the 63 penguins all lined up in St George's Hall.
You're going to get some photos?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, make sure Mina uses the camera, not you.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I shall remind her to take the camera card with her this time as well.
Now, coming up later in the week is the viewing of Themes of North Wales at the Gostyns Gallery. Whatever could this be about?
North Wales? Yeah. Gostyns is the gallery in the Gostyns building in Hanover Street. Yeah, have some nice exhibitions there. And they're paintings by Frances Walden Jones, who spent her childhood in North Wales, near Colne Bay. And was really into painting and so on, but then she got a job teaching drama.
Drama.
But now she's retired. Hooray. And has taken up her paintbrushes again.
Excellent.
And produced some colourful paintings of North Wales. So that's, it's viewing there on Thursday the 4th, 6:30 to 8:30. There's also some work there by Colin Reid, who you might have seen his work in Lorries recently and other places.
Familiar with his work at all.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with Francis Waldron Jones's work, are they? So it's a good opportunity to go down there and have a look.
Yeah.
Now, also coming up later in the week, is this the launch of... the exhibition starts. It's not a private view.
No.
China through the lens of John Thompson, 1868 to 1872. Mm. We've spoken about this exhibition previously, but give us a quick lowdown.
That's right, yes. China through the lens of John Thompson. This is the Maritime Museum. And as you say, it's open to the public on the Friday the 5th and runs right up until 6th of June. This is the guy, the intrepid Scottish photographer John Thompson, who not only managed to get to China,
yeah.
Wasn't easy in those days,
no.
But he took loads and loads of photographs of people in China and the scenery and so on. And must have been really, because obviously the equipment was heavy and huge.
You were telling me he shipped the plates, because they were glass plates, weren't
they? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Shipped them back to the UK.
Yeah.
Or probably Scotland.
That's right, yeah. They used glass plates in those days. And I think you sort of slot them into boxes.
Yeah, it'd be heavy.
Yeah, so I don't think they really carried them all home
in one go. Imagine the excess baggage on that. Right?
Yeah. So they were shipped over. How many was it? Was it 600 or something? I think they're showing 140 or something of them. So it should be really interesting, revealing the character of the vast empire as it was then, to its remarkable people, meeting people from all walks of life.
That's coming up from Friday, the Merseyside Maritime Museum. Now, coming up at View 2 Gallery, also on Friday, there's the viewing at View 2 from 6 till 9 at View 2. Recent paintings by Steve Deland. Do you know what? His name is vaguely familiar to me, but at the same time, I still haven't heard it in a very long time.
No, so, never heard of him myself. Sorry, Steve. Well, he's exhibiting for the first time for 15 years, Ken Martin tells us.
That'll be why.
Yeah. But he has been producing a body of work which Ken Martin at View 2 is highly recommending to people. So far, I've just only seen one image. He's having a website built.
Is he?
It's not quite ready yet, mm-hmm. So haven't seen much. The image of we've got on the website here looks interesting, figurative work. The recent paintings by Steve Deslandes. DES as in the French day.
Yeah, but he used to exhibit in Liverpool quite a lot. I remember him from over 15 years ago when I was working for Vision Fest.
Right.
A long time ago. So, and I think he had shows, or he took part in shows then. So,
right.
Wowzers.
Be good to see. That should be good. Mm-hmm. Viewing on Friday 5th. Then the exhibition runs till the 27th of February.
Brilliant. Now, also starting this Saturday is exhibition... Literalism. Clifford Sayer at the Gallery Liverpool. Now, this is the gallery which is near Kane's Brewery, just that little road, Kane's Brewery, and you go upstairs to it. Am I right?
That's right, yes.
Hey, thank goodness.
Yeah, sort of above the Framers, Atkinson's Framers.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
This exhibition starts on Saturday the 6th of February. The Gallery Liverpool, tell us a little bit more. Literalist. Literally, tell us a little bit more.
Well, I don't know what this literalism is, but apparently it was founded by Clifford Sayer. We do know Clifford Sayer. We've seen his artwork around quite a bit recently. He does some really good portraits and other paintings, and he did really good animations as well. He does animations to music videos and things, mm-hmm. But quite a separate thing. He doesn't really show that in galleries. Maybe literalist means because it's figurative, the works are quite literal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what it is. Emphasises the visual meaning of fine art, it says. An academic painter of life and imaginative works.
So he grew up and studied in Toxteth.
Yeah, studied in Toxteth. Maybe that's the... Liverpool Art School in Gambia Terrace.
Oh, yeah. It does, you're right, another talent. Yeah.
Maybe went there, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. It should be good. There might be private viewing on the Friday, but officially, and then opens to the public on Saturday the 6th and runs to the 27th of February.
Brilliant. Now, moving on, another viewing for all you dedicated viewing goers. Thinking Abstract, and this is Gallery for All Arts on Lark Lane in the old police station. So that's Saturday the 6th of February from 12 noon till 4 to the Gallery for All Arts, Lark Lane Police Station, Thinking Abstract.
Hmm.
What's that about then?
So yeah, another group show organised by Nicole at Gallery for All Arts.
Oh yeah.
It's quite a small space. The entrance is actually on Lark Lane. You know, the old police station is an entrance to the side if you go into the big...
Oh, you're in the big hall.
The big events they have, but it's not that. It's the smaller place actually fronting onto Lark Lane. And although it's small, she's got loads and loads of artwork in there, loads and loads of artists involved anyway. So, it's abstract artworks, but paintings, etchings, collages, mixed media, drawing, photography... by loads and loads of artists, local and international. So the viewing is actually on the Saturday afternoon from noon till 4 o'clock. Nice Saturday afternoon in Lark Lane for you there. And then the exhibition will go on to the end of March.
Wouldn't be too bad. Now, also coming up later on the week, this Sunday we'll give it a quick mention because after you've been... spent the whole previous week in and out of various different viewings, then this event is definitely for you. It's the launch of the health and well-being year. This year is the year of health and well-being, as in with one's health and well-being. We won't mention innovation. No innovation.
Nobody mentions innovation anymore.
No. So this is this Sunday, and it's from 10:30 to 4:30 at Lifestyles Tennis Centre, which is just off Wellington Road by the big swim bath there. Everyone knows where the big...
I don't.
Haven't you? No. Have you not been there?
No, I've heard about. I have heard about it. Wavertree, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mystery Park.
Yeah, I think somebody wants to go there.
Do you not go swimming? Because don't the university have a swimming pool?
Yeah. I used to go there when I worked at the university. I went there quite a bit, yeah. Lost contact. We should get back into it.
Head down to Wavertree, it's quite nice.
Yeah, but that's... seems a bit daft driving to do some exercise.
Well, get your bikes out.
I haven't got a bike.
I'll get you a bike.
I suppose I could get on a bus, maybe.
I'll get you a bike. It's quite difficult to get to you on a bus.
Yeah, that's what I thought, you see.
Anyway, talking about health and well-being. Sorry, we went off on a tangent.
Yeah. How not to... How to be lazy and go to the nearest swimming pool.
Get a bit of exercise. Loads of people, loads of the arty types go to...
I believe.
I've forever seen them there, like, you know, standing there in their trunks. Oh, hello.
I'm struggling to imagine the arty types I know in their swimming trunks.
Okay, different type of arty type. it's the launch of health and well-being. So you know where it is now.
This was postponed from... It was going to be early January. It
was.
But then the weather and everything was so bad, they just had to say, maybe not good for your health and well-being to be going to this place in the snow and ice. So they postponed it to this Sunday, 7th of February, as you say, 10:30 to 4:30 at the Lifestyles Tennis Centre. And it's just a launch event. There'll be lots of information there. Ooh, you can go on a trampoline, scale a climbing.
Climbing one. That's good.
Take a guided tour of the park. And,
hardly. I don't need to.
Or feeling less adventurous, you could have a neck massage or do some Tai Chi.
Oh, did you hear me back?
Yeah, good actually, yeah. And there's arts and crafts and stuff as well. Golf? X-Bikes, I don't even know what they are.
I don't know what X-Bikes are. Mm-hmm. Is that like a bit like Xbox? Oh, I don't know. We won't go there.
So it's just a bike you control through a... Okay. Anyway, so that's... Yeah. Sunday.
Just because you've just done an audio boot doesn't mean I know what an X-Bike is. But, and so, that is this week, and what a lot coming up. Further ahead, we've only got one event to tell you about, which is Wrong Love. Wrong Love at the A Foundation. How can love be wrong? Ian, what are they doing?
Well, it's on the 13th of February, so that's the day before Valentine's. So it's an alternative Valentine thing, I think. Although it does actually go, it runs from 9 o'clock on the 13th till 3 o'clock on the morning of Valentine's Day. And it's at the A Foundation, which, of course, has been in hibernation over the winter.
No surprise there.
No, but it's going to open on... It's going to be pretty cold, I think, on the 13th of February. But Maybe they'll lay on some heating for this one event. And it's been organised by the people at Come Into Land, an organisation that does this sort of thing. They organise artistic events, and there's people that I think they're in London, and but also now they have people in Liverpool doing this sort of thing. So I think it's the first one they've organised in Liverpool, I think. So it's actually a paying event because it costs a lot to put this show on. I think tickets are about £10 full price. £6 concessions. You can get them in advance from various places. All details are on the website, Liverpool website. So you can get them from Three Beat Records or Octopi on Renshaw Street. And so they've got loads and loads of artists. I think loads and loads of artists involved. So there'll be lots of performance art and videos and installations, music from various DJs. So it's, and it's, assume it's on the theme of love or responding to what they say. A celebration to ask questions about romance, sexuality, unconventional love, and where art is headed in this new decade. It's a new decade, isn't it?
I tell you what, this new decade starting to look a bit, you know, starting to look up.
Yeah.
We've hit February, that's it. I'm thinking, okay, it's starting to look a bit, it's starting to look interesting.
Yeah, although it's 2010, the end of the first decade, rather than the beginning of the new decade.
Listen, don't start getting old. you just because, you know, you studied science and things. Anyway, so what I was saying, as we said, I think we said it at the top of the show. I like to say that. At the top of the show. Anyway, so I said, I've got my tickets. You said?
My tickets are on the way, en route. Yes, I've ordered them.
So, come down and meet me and Ian for some wrong love. or maybe
we'll,
not.
We'll probably turn up at 9, but I don't think we'll be there at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'll probably turn up at 3 and be there till 9.
We've had one Saturday night out recently. That's enough for us for a long time. But this is another Saturday night, the 13th of Feb. Valentine's course is Sunday the 14th.
Don't forget that.
But yeah, it should be a good show. I'd say there's so much going on there. Should be worth your £10, the music and the videos. Who's doing videos? Shelley Nadashi Jabak, Christopher Paul Daniels, Rebecca Davis.
And Mike Carney himself.
Oh, right, yes. Performance from Samantha Sweeting, Baptiste Crows, Heather Jones, all kinds of people. Installations by Jane Lawless, we know her. Alan Williams, yeah. Jack Welsh, Adam Vaughan. Music from DJ Toby Williams, DJ Mysterious Mike. The Gay Foundation is great when it's packed out with all these things going on.
You can, mad things.
Yeah.
It's got to be mad.
Yeah.
Because that place like thrives on madness.
It does, yeah.
Get behind your ticket. Anyway, so Ian, that's Wrong Love coming up at the Gay Foundation. And that, unfortunately, is the end of the show this week. Anything else you need to tell us?
No, don't think so.
You covered everything?
I think so, yeah. Oh, I'm sure we've forgotten something, but it's all on the website.
It is. Check out, yes. Go to www.artinliverpool.com for further details. And for now, Ian, I'd like to say thank you very much once again for the Art in Liverpool podcast. I wouldn't say anything like stupendous and super. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening, and good night.
Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.